If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. Week one is here. We're going to go over the spread picks with my father coming up shortly. But let's just get the elephant out of the room. Obviously, Jordan Love is suffering an injury to his MCL late in the game against the Eagles Friday night. Results came back as not a complete tear of other ligaments. So it looks like it's going to be a moderate strain. So the Packers are expecting him to be out 3 to 4 weeks. What does this mean from a fantasy perspective? Well, two things. One, hope you have roster depth on your team. Two, this is why you don't try to reach on quarterbacks too soon in your fantasy drafts. Because as it stands, Jaden Reed takes a severe hit. Watson takes a severe hit, as does Romeo Doubs. With Love in the lineup, at least he could spread the ball around. With Malik Willis in the lineup instead, basically, maybe one of them gets fed and the others go to, like, you're just not going to get the pass distribution that you were accustomed to across the board. Now, who do we think gets more work? That's the bigger question, is because realistically, you're going to have a tough time figuring out who he's going to develop chemistry with. Now, there's a possibility that the Packers go through the route of promoting Sean Clifford instead of Willis, but they wouldn't have traded for Willis and kept him on the team after the fact if they thought Clifford had anything of value to them. So to me, the play here is you don't make panic trades, but what you hope for is you at least had some roster depth in terms of your wide receiver positions just to make this more palatable to take the beat. Because the way I look at it is that you're not going to see Jordan Love probably, they're saying 3 to 4 weeks, but reality situation is this is probably looking closer to 5 weeks to be utterly sure. They just signed him to an extension, and you know, Green Bay doesn't like paying people just for them to get hurt. It's like we saw them kind of take their time with Rodgers when he had his injuries through the year. So they're not going to rush him back just to try to make a run for the division. I think at this stage, you can feel more confident with the Detroit Lions winning the division outright. The Packers were their biggest threat to that end game. And, you know, the Packers are going to have to try to tread water where they can and go for probably be more in line for a wild card spot unless the Lions truly stub their toes multiple times during the season. I think Detroit should be able to build out a decent lead over the Packers in this time frame with Jordan Love being out, because I don't think they win more than the game at this clip with some of their upcoming schedule. So to me, this is one where you don't panic trade, but all the receivers I mentioned, at least two of them are going to start failing more. And you may even see Dontayvion Wicks get a little bit more work in because he may have more chemistry with Willis, because Wilkes was more on the practice squad side of the equation, taking the second team reps with Willis than being on the first team. So that might shift as well. But yeah, not great news for Green Bay, but you know, that's the nature of football. Sometimes you have those fluke type injuries, and you know, was the play a personal foul type penalty? Technically, you could have ruled it as such, because that was the old Tom Brady play when he got injured against the Bengals, where they kind of dove low at the below the knee, and that's why they changed the rule. Technically, should that have been called by the refs? Yeah, but the refs missed a ton of calls in that game while calling illegal motion penalties all day long against the Ravens the night before. So it was a weird start to the officiating this week, but we're going to see how some of these games go. So without much further ado, we're going to bring my dad on, and we'll go from there with covering the picks this week. So stick around, folks.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Folks, our personal data is being distributed constantly, every day, without us ever doing business with a company. Data brokers are collecting people's personal information to sell it to any number of companies. They are gathering data from public records, databases, and your online activities, and use it without you even knowing it. These guys have your name, address, email. And if you ever wonder how spammers keep getting your phone number, the answer is data brokers. So what can you do to protect yourself from this nightmare? Incogni steps in to repeatedly scrub your name off of any database tied to these guys, as long as you are a customer. They go through the hassle of engaging with these companies so you do not have to keep going through an endless chain of unsubscribe requests that go nowhere. Go to incogni.com and use discount code FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual membership. That's incogni.com/FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual plan. Let Incogni help ensure your data privacy today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, Pop. Week one of the NFL season is here. We've got the Sunday matchups. And let's kick it off with Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson likely out. It's all but confirmed at this point that it's going to be Justin Fields running the offense for the Steelers. They are 3.5-point underdogs going into Atlanta with our favorite guy, Kirk Cousins. You like that, don't you?
It's a kind of tricky one because I actually like Pittsburgh in this game because I think the Pittsburgh defense can hold Atlanta, and if it doesn't matter what it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I think with the weapons that Pittsburgh have, I think Pittsburgh can pull this up. So I like Pittsburgh in this game. I don't know how to become a 3-point underdog to Atlanta because, I mean, you really banking a lot on Kirk Cousins, you know.
Well, okay, I'll play devil's advocate here. I will say that I get your point that the Steelers have a good defense, but we said this countless times last year that Atlanta should have gone to the playoffs without question with a different quarterback or at least a somewhat competent head coach.
A quarterback. You know, they actually didn't have a quarterback.
I mean, the fact that Desmond Ridder got cut from the Cardinals after getting traded to the Cardinals tells you all you needed to know. It's like Atlanta just held on way too long. But the way I look at it is, yes, the Steelers defense is good, but so is Atlanta. And my whole thing is, this is one where I kind of look at it and say, Atlanta 3.5, it's a little bit rich. I would have liked that number under 2, but I get it because realistically, everyone's kind of looking at this from the standpoint of, you know, it's a new offense with Kirk Cousins. They should be more efficient. The Steelers not efficient on offense. Even if, no matter who the quarterback is, I still think there are going to be some question marks as to the run blocking scheme of the Steelers. So to me, I'm more on the Atlanta side than Pittsburgh, but I get your point. It's like realistically, that's putting faith in Kirk Cousins, which I don't have, but I do think from the standpoint of just the X's and O's, like which team's going to be able to just get enough points across the board. This feels like a 17-13. I don't even think it's going to be that high scoring of a game, truth be told. I think both defenses are going to do a pretty solid job. So to me, I could see this being a very low scoring game where you might see someone get a lot of catches, but I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I could be wrong there, but I don't see a shootout in this one though.
Mm-hmm. One of the problems I have, too, with Atlanta is, yeah, we knew that, you know, the quarterback situation was not the best. But I don't like their coaching either. I saw some of the most dumbass decisions, you know, last year from the coaching staff. So it's you know, it's not like I'm jumping up and down, you know. So, but like I said, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I will give Raheem Morris the benefit of the doubt now being back in the coaching seat that it's like he's going to manage this because like the line is at 43 and I think it's high. I think 43 is high between these two defenses. Unless there's a defensive touchdown, I don't see this line going over 43. That's why I feel like this goes under. I think both defenses keep both the offense is in check somewhat. I think you might get some receptions, but I don't think you're going to get a ton of points like that. That's why I kind of look at this as like, I think Atlanta manages to the ride this one out and kind of go from there. But moving on, we got, this is a rough one. The Cardinals start out their season traveling to the East Coast to play the Bills. Bills, 6.5-point favorite. Well, actually, it's 8.5 now. It opened at 6.5. It's now at 8.5.
I like the Bills, but 8.5? What do the Bills do to make me think that his offense is going to wake up and start, being as efficient as we would like them? The problem I have with the Bills, and I put some of this on the quarterback.
Oh, actually, you know what? I made a mistake, Callie. I saw the line was at 8.5 at one point. And now it's gone. So I think folks kind of got onto what you were doing. I think this line got bet back down to the 6.5. So Bill's 6.5 on this one.
But even at 6.5, here's the problem I have with the Bills. The Bills with startles, they may score a touchdown. Let's say they go up by 10 points. And they just find ways to screw up and, you know, mess around and lose points and turnovers, the next thing you know, the game is tied. And you know, it reminded me of, you know, like how the Ravens was in the early part of the season last year, before they really got going, where they just like pull the other team back in. No, we don't want to run so far from you guys. It just the Bills just find ways. And I don't know if he's going to stop it this year, but Josh Allen had like 3 turnovers in him just to let the other team back in. I think the Bills is going to win the game, but I don't know. They're going to have to show me that they've cleaned stuff up, and really, when teams are down, just step on their neck. And they haven't been doing that, you know, for all the last year. And I don't think getting rid of Stephon Diggs is going to change that. Unless he really used to, you know, manhandle Josh Allen so much that he couldn't think straight. I don't know. I would have to see that. I don't like that number. I think it's too high.
Too high? All right. I'm going to take the Bills side. Realistically, the reason why is that if Josh Allen can't throw on this Cardinals defense, this Bills offense is going to struggle way more than people expect. To your point, Stephon Diggs is gone. They drafted Keon Coleman. I mean, we did the season preview, and I still can't get over the fact that the Bills traded the pick that became Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs.
Don't remind me about that.
They could have had Keon Coleman and Xavier Worthy, and you trade. I can't get over this. If Buffalo was serious about competing for a title, how could you ever trade that pick to the Chiefs? It makes no sense. We literally talked about this point for half an hour offline, but it's such an idiotic decision to make the Chiefs stronger.
It's like I said, it's not that they traded the pick. It's who they traded the pick to. I mean, look, let me tell you something. The Chiefs are the kind of team that what the Bears should do is know that the guy has a broken foot and then trade him. So the team doesn't know. You can't. There's no way the Bears should be trading with the Chiefs, because you see what they can do. I mean, and you know that guy was sitting there. And one of your problems last year was getting points. You know, you didn't have people to spread the field. I still don't understand that brain fart that they did trading that pick. And especially, I know Bills fans wanted to throw up the other night when they saw him on the field and what he can do. You know, it's crazy. You know, so I but like I said, I like the Bills in the game, but I'm not ready to sit back and with that kind of point.
Yeah, my whole thing: if the Bills can't get it done with the passing attack, they should be able to run the ball against this Cardinals team as well. Like, the Bills should be able to take care. If the Bills can't take care of business and have a couple of wins against Arizona, this is kind of cause for concern, because yes, we know the Patriots aren't going to be good, but you know, the Jets should be at least competent, and the Dolphins are pretty solid. Like, the Bills cannot mess around with the division this year the way they did last year. If they mess around the way they did last year, they're going to miss the playoffs. For sure, they're going to miss the playoffs. They cannot have some of the goofball performances they had during the season last year. Can't happen if they want to make the playoffs. So
I'm going to wait and see, because I'm telling you, they you know, sometimes I you're watching the game and say, what the hell are you guys doing? You're better than this team, and they just find ways to bring the other team back into the game. You know, and like I said, Josh Allen has turnovers in some kind of times there, and you say, what are you trying? You know, there's nothing there. Throw the ball away. I'm like I said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see, because I you know, sometimes I wring my hands at some of the you know, the turnovers that he has.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. Let's move on.
Yeah. All right. So this one's interesting, because this the line has moved because of injury news. It was 9.5. It's 7.5, but we're going to stick with 9.5 just because this is where the pools were originally. Cincinnati, 9.5-point favorites at home against New England. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase hasn't been practicing. It looks like T. Higgins is out for the game with a hamstring issue. I kind of look at this saying New England's bad, but the Bengals are kind of going in with maybe one true receiver available, because I don't know how much they're really going to run out Chase, Ja'Marr Chase, if he hasn't been practicing because of the contract situation. So, like, the Bengals have done this to themselves, where they didn't get the Chase, Ja'Marr Chase situation resolved fast enough. Higgins is likely out. So now you're going into your first game, and Burrow is going to have to figure it out. Now, I think he figures it out anyway, because I do think that New England offense is just going to be a mess all year long. So this game probably just plays ugly, but I think I'm still going to take the Bengals -9.5, but I don't feel great about it.
Who's the quarterback of New England again?
So you forgot the ongoing debacle. The Pats fans wanted Drake May to start the year. The coaching staff even talked about Drake May starting the year. The coaching staff ultimately went with the decision of starting Jacoby Brissett, and I think part of the reason why is because this New England offense is going to be terrible. So I don't think it makes much sense bringing Drake May out there to get pounded when they're likely running into protection issues and they don't have receivers that can get any separation.
9.5, you say?
9.5.
That could be. I'll take that. You know, because I mean, did you see that New England offense? You know, at times. No, I think the defense can keep them in it. I think the defense can keep them in it a little bit, but you know, I'm thinking that Cincinnati should get at least 6 points off turnovers. So you only need to score three offense.
Yeah, I mean, you know? it's just one of those things. I don't like where New England went for a fresh start, and yeah, it looks like they're going from the they're scrounging for bits right now. So to me, I know Cincinnati has injury issues. The line's gone down to 7.5, but I would have taken it with 9.5. I'm still gonna keep betting the 7.5. line for Cincinnati. To me, I just don't see it with New England. You know, unless there's a collapse by the Bengals offensively, where they're making turnovers, and I just don't see it with Burrow. I think Burrow kind of comes into this season knowing he's probably the guy to derail the Chiefs out of anyone else, and that he needs to win games and be healthy throughout the course of the year. So I think they play it smart. I think they used their run game. They brought in Zach Moss for that reason, to be more of a bell cow. They'll use Chase Brown on the passing downs. And so, yeah, they may not bomb it out as much as they used to, but I think they'll be a more disciplined offensive team throughout the course of the year.
Well, you look at them last year after Burrow went down. They still looked a pretty decent team until we're down to the end against Pittsburgh. There, they were. I mean, at a certain time, you still think they were going to make the playoffs, you know. So even with a limited Chase, and as long as they don't have Burrow go down, stays healthy, and don't go down with an injury, yeah, I think they're going to be. Look, I think that for at least for this year. That thing that they're going to derail the Chiefs, I don't really see it. The way that Chiefs team is at right now and the confidence that they have.
With what we saw out of the Chiefs Thursday night, if that's what they're going to be able to roll out on a consistent basis, it's going to be real hard for anyone to beat the Chiefs in it.
Yeah.
It's like everyone should be pissed off at Buffalo. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. It's like it's like – They better hope Xavier Worthy the busts the rest of the year. But that's the only thing, because if he improves off of that, they didn't even have to use Kelce, and they made it that easy. So
the way Andy Reid likes to fiddle with things. So I think Cincinnati is gonna be good, but you know, everybody thinking about that, it's the team to think it's. I don't know. I'm not actually seeing that. You know, I'm not actually seeing that. Especially coming off what the Chiefs did last year, they gotta think, hey, no. We just gotta get ready for the playoffs, and we could, because. I mean, I'm not the only one that last year said I think the Chiefs are done. Wrap it up the next year. Until they went on that run in the playoffs. So I don't know about that. But like I said, I think with a healthy Burrow, even, you know, for the first few games with a limited Chase, I think they should cover that.
Yeah.
And it's not like if they're playing a juggernaut, you know, going up against the Patriots here.
Yeah. All right. So next matchup we've got, and I was kind of surprised by this line. Truth be told, I looked at it a couple of times, and I still don't agree with it. Bears, the home opener for Caleb Williams. The Bears are 4.5-point favorites over Tennessee.
I. I don't really have much of a problem with that because that Bears offense, unless you're telling me that Caleb Williams is going to stink, he has the weapons to do it. Tennessee, look, I think Tennessee has peaked and going the other way. I don't know. How many times did I pick Tennessee last year?
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee got Vrabel, but I think it was more Vrabel getting fed up with Tennessee and how they were running things than beyond his control. But here's my issue with the line. I would have no issue if this was like if Bears favored by 3, or okay, maybe 3.5. Like, why are the Bears getting a full point and a half? On Tennessee, like we haven't seen anything. Like my issue with this is we're already baking in Caleb Williams being good. Like he hasn't even played an official snap yet. He barely featured in the preseason. We're just taking it like this is the trust me, bro. Caleb's gonna be great. Like aspect. The reason why I dislike this line so much is I would rather go in the direction. I'll take the Tennessee side of the equation because as erratic as Levis can be, we've already seen him make the deep ball throws. DeAndre Hopkins should be able to make some plays against this Bears secondary. I would rather be, and I'll be honest, I look at it from a rushing attack. Yes, there's no Derrick Henry, but it's not as though Tajay Spears and the company, like Tennessee has a running backs. So from my standpoint, the reason why I kind of looked at this line a little bit differently was just the fact that, you know, I just didn't see how the Bears were this much of a favorite. Like, I mean.
I see what you mean. You were like, where's the eye test?
I just don't see it. Like, between Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, I think they can run on this Bears team. And I think they can run pretty well on them. So to me, you got two hard runners. You got a quarterback that at least has an arm that can stretch the defense. I think it's a very generous line that the folks are giving the Bears. And I'm just looking at it saying, I would rather, I'll have some bets on the Tennessee side as the dog, but I have no issue putting this into a teaser and teasing that up to 10.5 because the Bears might win, but there's no way I'm expecting the Bears to win by more than a touchdown. Like I would be stunned if the Bears won by more than a touchdown. I could see the Bears winning. But to me, this is a perfect spot to tease the Tennessee side, get it to 10 or 10.5, and go from there. And then there are other plays on this board that we're going to talk about down the line. But to me, this is a perfect teaser team. I love Tennessee in terms of teasers because if you tell me the Bears can win by more than 10 points, I will be stunned. I will be stunned because it's not as though the Bears were that much of a world beater last year that one guy is going to automatically put the Bears into. Because to me, this line indicates that people think the Bears are a playoff team and no one's calling the Bears a playoff team. But we're giving them a line expecting them to be a playoff team. That's why I disagree with the line.
The only thing that I like about is that if Caleb Williams can score on Tennessee with that offense with Adonze and you know the weapons that he got, I mean he has good offensive weapons.
Oh yeah, there's no question. It's like he has more weapons than basically any rookie coming into his first start in NFL history.
Oh, I would have loved to see Justin Fields with that offense last year. I think he would still be in Chicago. You know, he would not be going crazy trying to you know, make plays up and down the field. But he had one guy to throw the ball to, basically, you know. So I, like you say, the only problem I have with it is that we have no idea how good Caleb Williams is going to be.
Yeah, and believe me, I get folks making the argument, because I know folks are going to say, but the Bears had a Keenan Allen. They already had DJ Moore. Like, I get all that.
They have three really good receivers.
I get all that, but yeah. The speed of the NFL is still something to adjust to, and we're putting this as Caleb is going to figure it out from the opening jump. And to me, I think that's a very aggressive take. So to me, I'll just take the Tennessee side of things, and I'll throw it into teasers as well. I'll let the Bears blow me out if they have a way of doing it.
Here's the thing with me. I'm thinking the same way the people have made the Lions. If you can't do this shit, then down you go. Because you should be able with that offense, because to me, it's on Caleb, because you have the weapons, make them work.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way they look at it. That, you know, you should be able to figure this shit out. Because a lot of the Bears, the offensive line it's not the best, you know. But for the weapons that they gave you, you should be able to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right.
We'll see.
Yep. All right. So moving on, we've got Miami in their home opener, 3.5-point favorites over the Jags.
I'll take that. I'll take Miami on the floor.
Yeah, I kind of look
not
at this.
A big fan of the you know, I'm not a big fan of the Jags. Another team that last year, you know, they were listening to my conversation and say, "Oh, you like us, okay?" You know, so.
I mean, the Jags can win this game, but do we trust the Jags to actually be consistent on opening day? No. No.
Wow.
Like, to me, this would require Miami to have more mistakes than the Jags actually playing well. Because I think the Jags will be sloppy. They're like, that's usually how the Jags are. It's just they're not a consistent team moving out. So, but moving on, this game, I'm still trying to figure out how, like, this isn't a bigger line. Houston, on the road, 2.5-point favorite over Indy.
I guess they figure that Richardson is going to keep it close.
And my reaction is, why? you have Houston adding Stephon Diggs in the offseason to a team that already had Nico Collins and Tank Dell. You saw C.J. Stroud shred the entire league. It's not as though the Colts improved their secondary by leaps and bounds. Houston's defense is pretty solid. How is this game supposed to be this close? Like, I'm genuinely curious with how folks were classifying this game. To me, this is the game where I would have expected Houston to be favored by like 4.5 points, even though they're on the road, because Houston's the team that made it to the playoffs and was pretty solid. I kind of look at it from the standpoint of this is one of the teams that are considered to be one of the dark horses to maybe make a deep run into the playoffs, the Colts are still the team that folks are still trying to figure out what they're going to be down the line.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that, you know, who, you know. Right now, if you ask me, what is the identity of the Colts? I have no clue. Whether they're a running team, whether they're a passing team, whether a good defensive team, I have no clue. You know, because they confuse you so much from week to week. I have no idea. You know, but maybe they know something we don't. I don't know. You know, so it is what it is. I'm not a big Colts fan. You know, because like you say, I have no clue what's their identity. You know, so yeah, I think they get the points because yeah, that line should be bigger.
Yeah, I just look at the line. I was like, Houston's one of my favorite plays of the week because I think they should be favored by more. I'd be more surprised that Houston doesn't win this game by more than a touchdown. So,
unless they think last year was a fluke,
that's the only thing I can think of. Because to me, I don't see enough with the Colts to make me feel that confident that they're going to be able to hang with Houston. Even though it's a home game, Houston plays in a dome too. It's not as though it's like it's an unfamiliar territory for them. So to me,
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All things being equal, like Houston should win this game, I think, pretty comfortably. So I look at it like two and a half, like Houston only have the cover of 2.5. I take that all the time. So I'm good with that one.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. We'll take the next two, and then we'll get into our afternoon slate. So we've got New Orleans hosting Carolina, the Saints 4.5-point favorites.
Oh, yeah? Can we play for a tie? I have no idea how you arrive at that.
I told you, there are some interesting lines here.
I, 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 I'm serious. I have. It's not like I have no idea if Carolina can keep it close, but I have no idea if New Orleans can actually score points. You know, that's a head scratcher.
I'll tell you the way I look at this game. Yeah, New Orleans could blow out Carolina if Carolina plays poorly. But New Orleans could also lose this game to Carolina because we know that the Saints can play poorly. I look at this from the standpoint of I have no issues throwing Carolina into a teaser and pushing that line to 10.5. Because to me, I look at it from the standpoint of, okay, if Carolina loses this game, they're probably getting blown out hard. I would rather take that chance than try to bet on feeling good about the Saints covering 4.5, because if it's anywhere within a touchdown, the Saints can easily find a way to blow this game. It's like I do not trust the Saints in a close game in this environment. I would expect the Saints, if they're going to win, they're going to win convincingly. But if it's close, the Saints are probably going to find a way to lose, or maybe just like win because Carolina misses a field goal at the last second. It's like, it'll be something dumb along those lines. It's like, to me, I don't have a ton of confidence. So this is one of those, like, I'm going to throw Carolina into a teaser to bump the lineup, or I'm just going to avoid the game entirely. But I have no interest in betting the Saints side of the equation.
Yeah, it's a head scratch. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
All right. And then as part of the last afternoon game, we've got the home opener of our Giants hosting the Vikings. The Vikings, 0.5-point favorites over the Giants.
0.5?
Yeah, basically it's a pick 'em. They're just saying, like, someone's got to win this game. Probably.
That's how I look at some of these games that we just talked about. That's what it should be. 0.5. Pick up. You know, look, let me tell you, I'm a Giants fan. And like I tell you, it's really tough for me to pick against the Giants, you know, because it'd be like, you want your team to lose. And, you know, I take losses really hard, but I have no idea what this Giants team is going to be, because we could get Jerry Rice and you know, this playing receiver for the Giants, and I'm still not sure that my quarterback can throw the ball there, you know, because which Daniel Jones are we going to get? You know, I still got to see Daniel Jones throw the ball down the field, 20-yard pass consistently, treading the needle, because that's what you got to do now.
Well, this is where I always think everyone gets it wrong. Daniel Jones is the same guy he's always been. He's the guy who can throw 20 yards down the field 65% of the time. And the problem is, in the NFL, you need to be able to throw consistently down the field 85% of the time accurately, because the another 25% of the time, the defense is going to knock it away. So if you can't get your accuracy up down the line, you are going to be an ineffective quarterback. And that's what Daniel Jones is. He can't throw deep balls effectively. He can throw them. He just can't throw them effectively. So the reason why the drives stall out is because he can't throw down the field. It's been very simple to figure this out. The Giants are the only organization that hasn't figured it out with Daniel Jones that he's not a consistent player. It's the reason why he got outplayed by Tyrod Taylor. It's like, it's not like Tyrod's a massive thrower of the ball, but he's more consistent than Jones.
Yes. Yeah, look, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The reason why at times teams just, you know, you tell yourself, What are the Giants doing? It's because teams know that he can't do this. Let's say the Giants call three pass plays. Most teams know that he's not going to complete those. He might complete one. So that's how the game plans for him. You see? And he's not a quick throw, which is the other thing. It's not like he can think. He has to kind of like aim. So it takes too much time. That's one of the problems that we have. I don't know how they haven't. Look, I have prayed forever for Daniel Jones to just be a serviceable quarterback. The other problem is he's injury prone. And if you're not really good and injury prone, that's a killer. That's the problem we have. You know, everybody talks about that one season that he had, and you know.
But it wasn't even that good of a season. He threw for 15 passes, touchdown passes.
No, and remember, the guy who made that season possible was Saquon Barkley. You know, being LT, and you know. So it's I don't know. I don't even know what to hope for this season. I really don't know what to hope for this season. You know, because, I know it's preseason, but for him, the way he looked the other day when he threw, and that's it, you know, as bad as it is with the picks that he threw, we were actually lucky. He had like three more plays.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm going to talk about the other side of the equation. I think this is a pretty straightforward Minnesota play today. You know why? Because the Vikings, even though it's like everyone was talking about J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold still has a functioning pulse as an NFL QB. And as long as you have a pulse, Justin Jefferson is going to get himself open. So, to me, the Giants secondary still never made any improvements. They let McKinney go. They didn't really stock up on additional picks. I want to know how the Giants are actually preparing to defend Justin Jefferson today, because to me, this is a game where Justin Jefferson could go off for 200 yards and it wouldn't shock me in the slightest, because we've got great weather in New York today. It's cool fall weather, so it's not going to be that hot on the field. There's not, like, compared to most days at the Meadowlands, it's not that much wind. This is perfect weather for Sam Darnold, because in case anyone forgot, Sam Darnold knows that stadium very well. So it's not as though he's going to be surprised by the elements. He knows the stadium very well. So you give him the best player in an environment he's comfortable in already. He may not have great memories, but he's already comfortable playing in that stadium. Tell me how Justin Jefferson doesn't have a monster day today. Because I don't know how the Giants are planning to defend him. I really don't. Because unless they are going to be able to get to Sam Darnold and sack him 5-6 times early and break his confidence, I think Justin Jefferson is going to have a massive first half. And it might be all they need to get rolling in this game. So for everyone talking up about what we need to see out of Daniel Jones, I got to see what the defense is going to do, because that's my biggest concern. I think Justin Jefferson is going to just shred this team.
Hey, you're not making me feel good, y'all.
But I'll let you stick with your Giants pick. But I'm just telling you, I'm on the Vikings side of it just from a pick standpoint, because I look at it and I'm saying to myself, I don't know how the Giants are actually going to slow this team down today. I kept thinking about it, and I'm saying to myself, I don't think everyone keeps talking about Daniel Jones and the Giants offense, but I keep looking at it as wondering, how is the defense supposed to work today? Because I don't really see a great matchup for the Giants at all in this game. And to me, like, when you're a team that's already struggling, Like, you need to find a way to get an easy win. And I'm saying to myself, I don't see an easy win for the Giants. I see this being an easier path to victory for the Vikings than the Giants. And everyone keeps talking this up as, yeah, I think the Giants as a home dog makes sense as a play. And I'm looking at it saying, I think it's the other way. I think it's a straightforward path to victory for the Vikings, unless the Giants defense shows up and balls out, because I think the offense is what it is. So it's like, yeah, they'll have some three and outs. They may score some points, but I think Minnesota has a far more easier time unlocking big plays down the field.
Well, see, like I say, you're not making me see it.
Yeah. All right. So, with that in mind, we are going to transition into the afternoon games right after this.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, we are back. So, for the afternoon games, we've got the Chargers and the new-look Chargers. They lost most of their talent, but they got rid of Brandon Staley, so technically I consider that a win. So Jim Harbaugh is leading a Chargers team that lost over 60% of their roster for budget cuts against the Raiders, led by Antonio Pierce, former Giant, who may have the worst quarterback situation in football, but at least he got the head coaching gig. The Chargers, 3.5-point favorites at home.
I mean, you still have Justin Herbert. You stripped down some. You gave away your best offensive players. You let them get away.
They didn't have a choice. They couldn't afford Eckler and they couldn't afford Keenan Allen. Everyone had to go. So Joshua Palmer is the number one wide receiver on this team.
I think the only reason I'm going with the Chargers is because I think that the it's my faith in the Raiders offense that they're going to turn the ball over a bunch of times, and that's where they're going to get the points from. You know, I mean. Brandon Staley was so bad that you kind of like, I wonder how this, you know, how good this team really is. Yeah, you know. Like I said,
it was one of the biggest fumbles in NFL history that needs to be discussed at greater length, but no one really cares about the Chargers. But how Brandon Staley never got anywhere meaningful with that Chargers roster he had is one of the all-time greatest coaching misfires in league history.
The problem I have is not with the coaching. The problem I have with the Chargers is the ownership, because Brandon Staley should have been fired after that debacle in the playoffs. I mean, what else you want? What else you need to see? You know?
Yeah, but then they would have had to have to pay for two coaches. So this way, they wasted another year, so they only have to pay one coach now. So it's all good.
Look, I feel sorry for Justin Herbert because the Chargers figure out ways to kill players because they won't pay for anything, so they never get up there. I mean, look, let me tell you something. When you look at the players that go through the Chargers, from LaDainian Tomlinson to, Keenan Allen, I mean, Gates.
Yeah. Hey, the Chargers find ways of having your career put up stats, but ultimately go nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like a retirement home.
You know, oh my God. I don't know why his name is.
Hey. All I know is Dan Fouts and Philip Rivers are doing just fine. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I feel sorry for Justin Herbert because
he'll be fine. He'll be like Fouts and Phil.
Maybe the Giants can figure out some way to talk to them.
It will never happen. You know that's too good to be true.
Get them to trade Justin Herbert to the Giants.
No.
You can always give them Daniel Jones.
No, I can't give you that false hope. I can't give you that false hope, Callie. That's not happening.
Because the fact that guys like, some of the guys that I saw got fired as head coaches, that Brandon Staley, I don't know what they were paying him, but it had to be a little bit because how he survived as long as he did, and because Brandon Staley's a horrible coach. He's a horrible coach. Because it's not just that you come back from that playoff loss and come back the next season and made those fourth down calls. And like I said, it wasn't for that idiot in Cleveland.
Hey, it's okay, Callie. We don't have to worry about Brandon Staley anymore.
It's absolutely crazy that some of the coaches that got fired and that guy kept his job while doing such a horrible job with the amount of talent that he had. It's not like he had a bad team. Was it last season when they were 5-0?
Yeah. But don't worry about it. It's okay.
You got up to take a leak, and they were 5-6. I mean, you're like, how the hell you lose these games? It's mind boggling. But anyway, like I say, I the Raiders have the worst quarterback, and so maybe that's how They get their points by the turnovers. Because I have no idea what Harbaugh can do with this team, and I want to see how long he stays there because that ownership, like you say, is so cheap. That they figure out ways not to do anything.
So, well, I think the reason why Harbaugh stays is. The only reason why he got he signed the deal was they gave him partial equity in the team. I think the Spanos family is looking to sell, and so it's whatever they want to do is like I think they're looking to sell and kind of go down the line. But well, I think we're both in agreement. Chargers 3.5 on this one, but we'll move on. So we got a couple of stinkers to get through. But first up, it's your boy Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers hosting the Commanders. Tampa Bay 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, at home, right? Yeah, they host it.
Yeah,
I'll take that because of Jim Dandis being a rookie on the road. So. I'll take the and they ended the season not too bad, you know. Although every time I put a little faith in,
hey. We're just gonna pretend that Baker has not betrayed you multiple times. We're gonna ignore that.
Baker Mayfield, for some reason I keep liking the guy. He's a kind of fighter, but he never.
We're gonna ignore the fact that basically every pick for Baker has backfired on you, and picks against him have also backfired.
He never rewards me. Man.
But we're just gonna pretend on that one. But I'm still taking the Tampa side of the equation as well.
Yeah, it basically
to me, this one comes down to the Commanders. They don't stop the run well. They don't stop the pass well, and you got a rookie QB. And you're on the road. None of this combo makes a ton of sense against a Tampa team that likes to throw different looks at QBs. And if you haven't seen that look before, you're going to have struggles. I think this is a tough start for Daniels, but we'll see where he goes after this game.
Yeah, I think Bulls is going to give him fits. Yeah.
All right. Seattle hosting the Broncos. Seahawks 5.5-point favorites.
Five and a half?
Yeah, Broncos are bad. that's the only thing to say.
I know. You. The thing about it is that you don't have faith in Sean Payton and his quarterback. He can make anybody a good quarterback.
Well, the fact that Sean Payton was fully behind Bo Nix kind of reinforces the fact that I think Sean Payton lost his fastball a while ago. Because Bo Nix putting up some of the most empty stats in college football history, but we're supposed to take him seriously. It's like, I can't wait for this season. I can't wait.
His dad is going to be in the stands. you're going to get 4 pitches of him every 2 minutes. It's going to be good. I'll take Seattle. They can run the ball. And if they running the ball good, the quarterback doesn't have to take, a lot of chances, which gets him into trouble when he has to kind of try to shoulder the load. And they can play defense. So, yeah, I'll take Seattle.
All right. The last afternoon game, the Cleveland Browns with Kevin Stefanski, your favorite. 2.5-point favorites over. How about them Cowboys?
Look, I like Cleveland because I love Cleveland's defense. Which one of the Watsons are going to show up?
$1 million question, because I look at this line, the Cowboys are the other team. I have no issues with teasing the line. I have no issues teasing the line to 8.5 and just take the Cowboys out of the equation. Because truth be told, when you look at this game, we don't know what the hell we're getting out of the Browns offense.
No.
It's like, Dak could screw this game up. But if you're asking me who's more likely to be consistent on offense, I would say the Cowboys. Because it's not as though Cleveland has Nick Chubb around to lean on. It's like, Chubb is still not ready to play yet. It's going to be 6-7 weeks into the season. Like, right now, it's like the question mark on Cleveland is, how's this offense going to look? And does Deshaun Watson have a grasp of it yet? I look at this from the standpoint of, I actually would feel more comfortable
with the Dallas side of the equation than the Cleveland side. I'm just not sold on Cleveland right now.
Well, the only thing that I have to back on in Cleveland is that, you know, you kind of expecting that defense to force about two or three turnovers, because most of the Cleveland games, most of the games that they won last year was when that defense turned the other team over and they got easy points off for it. I asked you, which Deshaun Watson is going to show up? Because ever since I saw him in his last game for the Texans I'm speaking about, I haven't seen Deshaun Watson show up. You know, it's like Deshaun Watson has never played for the Browns, because you tell me the game that he has played since he's been a Brown that you would say, yeah, he's one of the best. I mean, he's a mediocre quarterback since he's been, when he gets on the field. Because, I mean, just show me an injury and he can pull a hamstring or this, or, you know, maybe he's missing the masseuse. I don't know. I can't, like you say, I would rather take the Dallas side of that, because there are certain things I think I can depend on Dallas doing. You know, the only problem I have with Dallas right now is how they allow their running game to age. I don't see the point in, other than Jerry likes him, in bringing back
Zeke. You know. Zeke is back because Zeke can block. That's what he's back for. He's there to be a fullback. It's like, he's going to get some carries, but to me, Zeke is a fullback. Everyone talking about Zeke being the primary running back. No, it's going to be Dowdle as the primary running back, but Zeke is there for the passing downs to give Dak protection. It's like, I think it's that.
And he can score, you know, a 1 or 2 yard.
Yeah. Like he'll get the short yardage situations. Yeah.
But I actually, as much as it pains me, because, you know, I hate him, I actually would more lean on the Dallas side of this. You know, and the fact that Stefanski is even dumber than McCarthy. So I think
that's,
yeah. I'm telling you. I do that easy. I can't, as much as I like to see the Cowboys suck, you know, I can't see this line.
Yeah.
You're putting a lot of faith in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, unless they seeing, you know, Watson behind the scenes and no more than I know.
Yeah. So Sunday Night Football, the Lions hosting the Rams. Lions 3.5-point favorites. So it's a rematch of the playoff game. And I still look at this saying, I thought the Rams were the better team in that game. Yeah, the Lions won, but I thought the Rams were the better team. I thought Detroit got the benefit of a number of calls.
Yeah. Even and right down to the end, because I thought, you know, they got away with one, you know, with the pass interference. You know, I don't understand how you don't call that.
So to me, I'm good with the Rams side of the equation because of the hook. I think Detroit wins a close one. But I do think for spread purposes, I like the Rams side, and I'm okay with throwing it into a teaser because I don't think the Lions are good enough to blow them out either.
Yeah, but the only thing I worry about with the Rams, I want to see the Rams on defense now that
Aaron Donald's retired. That is true.
Not there because that's a big thing, because you're looking at two men and, you know, somebody trying to chip and help out to stop Donald. And I mean, he used to go on. He's not one of those guys that, you know, is every other play. He goes every play. So I want to see what effect that has on defense.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a big D.
Yeah. So,
you know.
So I got you down for Detroit on the Detroit side. I'm on the Rams side. And then for our final game, Monday Night Football, Niners hosting the Jets. Aaron Rodgers gets his moment in prime time.
First quarter. Is he getting out of the first quarter?
One can only hope. For the amount of talk there has been about Aaron Rodgers the past 2 years, if he gets injured again and doesn't make it out of this game, I don't even know what to say.
I don't know what the line is, but I like the Niners.
Yeah, the Niners are only 3.5. Like, to me, the line should have been bigger. There's a lot of respect being given to the Jets that this line was 3.5.
They don't want to offend Aaron Rodgers. They don't want Aaron to say, "Well, I'm playing, and you have a like that," you know. So
yeah.
that's what's going on there.
All right. So to recap, Kelly, I got you on Pittsburgh. We disagreed there. I got you on Pittsburgh. You're on the Pittsburgh side. I'm on Atlanta for the 3.5. You're on the Arizona side for the 6.5. I'm on the Bills side, so we disagreed there. You're on the Chicago side. I took the Tennessee side, but you're on the Chicago side. So we also disagreed there. And we also disagreed on, wow, we have a lot of disagreements today. I'm on the Cincy side at the 9.5. You took the New England side. Oh, no. You agreed on Cincinnati. Sorry. You agree. I don't know why I had you down like for New England at first, but no, you had the Cincinnati side. You're on the Houston side with me at the 2.5. We're both on Miami. New Orleans? Did you take the New Orleans side? I think you took New Orleans, begrudgingly. Like, neither one of us wants to take this game, but I think begrudgingly. Begrudgingly, you're on Derek Carr's side. You're on the Giants. I'm on the Vikings side, unfortunately.
Sentiment.
Yeah. You have a sentimental pick. I just want to protect my wallet. We're both on the Chargers side. We're both on the Seattle side. We're both on Dallas. And I think we're in agreement with Tampa. Yeah. So to me, it's like realistically. Yeah. I think this is a, should be an interesting week, Callie. But twists and turns with, that first game of the season, but we shall see. But I think we both agreed on like the takeaway we got from this weekend already is it's going to take some injuries or something dramatic to happen to get us off the Chiefs side of the equation of who the best team
definitely.
Because the Chiefs being able to stretch the field again for the first time in ages, since Tyreek left, it's a game changer. So to me, that was a takeaway from this weekend is just the fact that the Chiefs are able to stretch the field again.
Yeah. That, you know, and when you have a quarterback like Mahomes, you don't like when they can stretch the field because it gives him more time. As you saw the other night, I still look at that play where I thought they had it dead to rights. Two men was going to sack him. And the fact that he has a little time, he next thing you know, he's around and Rashid Rice is gone, you know. So it went from a negative play to a big positive play.
Yeah.
You know, so, and he does that shit all the time. I mean, you know, San Francisco basically fired their defensive coordinator because of that fake run up the middle in overtime. And I want somebody to tell me what was he going to do to stop that? You know, because you realize if you had closed that gap, he passes it off, and they only needed like what 3 yards or 2 yards or something like that. So you want to stop the short play?
Yeah.
You do. You the fact that he ran up the middle, you know, it's like, yeah, but you should have seen No, you have to stop the play that you can see. You see, but he's gonna do that to a lot of people. He thinks differently, you know. And the fact that he doesn't have blinding speed, people always get carried away about how fast he moves. So I'm blue. I don't hate the Chiefs, so that's the only good thing about it. So it's like I don't hate the Chiefs like I hated the Patriots, you know. But it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. You just don't want to see a team that good get that much better, you know. So we'll see how the season goes, because you know injuries plays a big part in everything, you know. But if I'm a contender, I'm not looking forward to this season.
Oh no, not at all. But we shall see. So okay. They'll do it. We'll catch up later, Callie.
Okay, sir. Take it.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.